Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Welcome to Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. I'm your host, Del Walmsley, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Today, my friends, I am recording this show one day after Memorial Day, and man, I'll tell you what a day it was. And it really started me thinking. I'm thinking, how did I get this house? How did this come about? And I started trying to write it down even. I've got notes here for you to try to share with you how this house became a part of my life and how wonderful that was. But then even before that, I had to have the money to be able to afford to buy this house. So I think back to when I worked 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, and had no time for even if I could have bought this house, I wouldn't have been able to enjoy it. The life I live is one of extreme pleasure and of extreme accomplishment. And it didn't just occur. Something had to make that happen. Now, let's go back and say, well, Del, I don't have enough money to buy something like that. You're right. I didn't have enough money to buy it when it came for sale. I bought it from somebody who made a gigantic mistake in life. He built it brand new, just got married. His dad was wealthy. Her dad was wealthy. Hence, they were rich in their 30s. Built this giant house, and they were married less than a year and got a divorce. He lost so much money from the divorce, and his dad was so mad at him for doing it, whatever, because the girl was going to sue him for whatever his share of the company was. So the dad had to pay her off to get rid of her. Because he didn't have any money. It was all his dad's money. And I ended up buying the house 50 cents on the dollar. They had to sell it. They had to get out of it. And by gosh, by golly, my wife was on the search for this house for the longest time. And when this one came open, I go, man, that is the most incredible house I've ever seen up to that point. I've seen better since. But that was the most incredible home I'd ever seen. And we can't afford that. Until all of a sudden we found out the guy was going through a divorce. He'd lost everything. So we made him a lowball offer. 50 cents on the dollar, bought the house. Nicest thing that ever happened to me. You know, I wanted to be able to park as many cars as that we owned. We got that spot. I wanted a gym. We have a gym. I wanted a shop. And I have both a wood and a metal shop now with, believe it or not, 20-foot high ceilings. Unbelievable stuff in this house. I wanted a circular driveway. We have a circular driveway. And yet we have a second driveway in the back, which is like a service driveway so that, you know, you can bring trucks in and out and people and whatever. We have an auto court. It's actually a place where we've actually had food trucks parked there. So in the parties, we didn't have to cook. They could just drive in there and park in the auto court, and people just came up and got whatever they wanted. Just incredible stuff. It just blows my mind. And this is not, again, I tell you, this is not to impress you about what I've done. It's to impress upon you how I did it and what you would need to do. And I'm telling you, the very first thing that I see 90% of the people I run into in life is that, and remember, I run into a very high percentage of people that are successful because of the nature of my business, which is helping people who want to be successful become successful. So that's a very large percentage of people I meet that this is not true of. But for people that I don't meet through my business, 90% or better fall into this next category, and is that they've never dreamed. They've never dreamed of anything larger than what they have. They were, you know, pigeonholed when they were young. They were programmed to believe that, hey, this is the quality of life that my family has existed with. I might do a little bit better. Everybody thinks you'll do a little better than your parents did, of course. But they don't dream big. I mean, I was driving the other day with my wife, and we happened to drive by a subdivision entrance, and I said, look at that subdivision. Every single house in that subdivision is exactly the same. And you know, in those subdivisions, those track-built subdivisions, there's probably five different model homes. You know that, like when you go to see a new subdivision, they've got five models. So you can pick from one of the five. But, you know, all the exteriors of the homes have to be generic. That's by nature of the subdivision rules. And they're on the same size lots, and they're right next to each other. And there's only, like, you know, 20 yards, 20 feet, 10 yards, I don't know, between the houses. It's just, and they're in a row. And, man, I looked at it, I thought, what a terrible way to live. Now, by the way, when I was younger, a condo, which was a big mistake. Then I owned a 2,600 square foot home that was in a subdivision like that. Then I owned a 3,000 square foot home that was in a subdivision like that. And then I owned a 5,000 square foot home, which was in a subdivision like that. Although it had even smaller lot because it was a patio home. So it was built, it was at such an expensive part of town, they build up instead of build out, right? And then I bought this home, which is a 16,000 square foot home, which is quite a bit different than 5,000. But up until this home, I had lived in those subdivisions. I didn't think less of myself. I didn't go home every day and go, my God, look at every single one of the houses are just like mine. The neighborhood's all the same. You know, I haven't accomplished anything. I'm just like everybody else. I didn't think all that stuff. And I'm sure the people who live there don't think all that stuff. But me sitting here the other day with my wife looking at that stuff, that's all I could see was, why do so many people have so little desire in life? And I keep going back to this. I read that book by, you know, Napoleon Hill called Think and Grow Rich. And the first chapter, you know, the most important one there was that, hey, whatever the mind of man can conceive and believe, it can achieve. So the question is, what can you conceive? You know, how big can you dream? And then the next part is, can you believe? If you can perceive it, you say, okay, wow, that's a really incredible thing. But do I believe it actually exists? Do I believe that it could exist for me? And I would say 90% of the people are lost that don't even dream. If you go up and ask kids right now, you go to college, what do you want out of life? They have no dreams. They have no goals. Even in college, they have nothing. They don't want to be anything. They don't want to do anything. They want to protest. They want to be mean. They want to be, you know, racist. But they don't. They want to hate other people. But they don't want themselves to accomplish anything. They have no dreams. None. Then if you get past that, you get up into your 30s. And we have kids in our 30s right now. They actually start to want some stuff. But their perceived perception of the world, what they're willing to dream for, is very small. They can't perceive big stuff. Now, one of my daughters is different than that. She perceives big stuff, but she doesn't really care because she saw how I did it. She saw it wasn't that hard to do. And so in her mind, it's kind of like, well, whenever I really want something, I'll just go do it. I'll go get it. And so I don't think she really even has ever worried about dreaming for stuff. But I think that most of you out there, you know, a good 90% of you have never even conceived what a life of a very financially successful person would be like. And then from the 90%, the last 10% who might have perceived it, you don't believe it can happen for you. And there's where 99% of the people fall off. There's only 1% of the people that make it. So we have to start you dreaming. I want you to dream big just today. Just do it. You're driving in your car, you're sitting around. Maybe even if you're instead of watching some of the stupid news that is the same every day and it's hateful and the world is going to come to an end and everybody hates each other and, you know, the other party's going to destroy the country. And just get off of that for a while. I just ask you, do it for yourself, not for me, do it for you. Think about it. Just turn that TV garbage off and sit there. Maybe get on the internet, look up whatever it is that comes to mind. I don't care what it is. I know that what I used to do, which is rather interesting to me, I'm sure you think it sounds stupid, but everybody I'd ever see in the news, I'd look them up and find out what their net worth was. So that I figured that, okay, here are athletes. These guys make X amount of money. They seem to be the richest people out there. Movie stars, I thought, were the richest, but they're probably not as rich as most athletes. But when you get there, you know, it's somewhere between $50 and $100 million is where you lose everybody. After $100 million, there's only the moguls, the really, really successful people. You know, whether they're in music or whether they're in sports, you know, those people that have not only a talent, they not only sing, but they own businesses and they own records and studios and all different kinds of things. They've become a mogul. They've taken whatever talent is and they've gone beyond just getting up and going to work and doing what their talent is to owning stuff. Those are the really wealthy people. And so you have to decide. I mean, you know, there's no way you're going to perceive and dream yourself into Oprah Winfrey. But why not? What does Oprah have? Well, she had some good business sense to start the businesses that she started and purchased after having, you know, the luck to be in a movie. And it was a good movie, made her a lot of money, but she did dream and go build herself an empire. Why couldn't you do that? You could simply do the same thing she did. We'll take a short break. Be right back with the Del Wamsley Radio Show.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Del Wamsley interviews Chad and Lisa.
This property, for you to have done what you've done, won the award, changed it around, done all the rehab, has got to be worth a lot more.
We purchased for $8.275 and it's worth $19 million now. So.
Wait, whoa, 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 whoa. That is incredible. I can see why you won an award, and that's great.
Lifestyles Unlimited. Over 33 years teaching the real estate retirement roadmap. Text the word radio to 88007 for a $297 membership. Save $443 off the regular price. Text radio to 88007.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to Del Wamsley Radio Show. Today we are dreaming about what your life could be like if you're willing to get out there and make some changes. And I want you to realize that although I just spend a segment talking about dreaming, it is the first step, but it's not going to get you there. A lot of people do dream, but they don't take any action afterwards. So let's talk about what you do. Once you come up with a dream, now you have to start studying more specifically on that dream. In other words, okay, what is it I really want to have? When I was talking about having a house, you know, I said I specifically wanted an 8-car garage or better. I didn't mind if it's larger, but at least 8. If it doesn't have that, it's not part of the dream. It's not there. I wanted a swimming pool that was incredible. If it's not there, it's not part of the dream. I wanted a circular driveway. I wanted like this drive-up entrance to the home that was impressive. You know, if it's not there, it's not part of the dream. And then the next step, after you start honing it down, you need to go find some help. Now, I enlisted my wife to go do all the legwork because she just loves doing that kind of stuff. She enlisted real estate agents to start looking for this. And once she had 2 or 3 agents out there looking for her, these deals started popping up all over the place. The same thing true with when I start deciding I need another piece of investment real estate. I'll get 2 or 3 agents, say, okay, I'm back in the market again, and start looking. So you enlist people with your dream to help you find it. And the other thing they can do, and this is where a mentor comes into play, is they can help you envision your dream occurring, right? And what are the steps that are necessary to get there? So I'm going to give you an example of 2 different people that got the dream but didn't hone it down into specifics. So there was a lady one time that came to me and she joined up as a preferred member. And she was working with me personally. She says, look, I want to buy an apartment complex. I said, well, have you ever, you know, do you have any money or very much money? She goes, no. I said, well, then you really can't buy an apartment complex. You need to have some money to buy something. And she said, well, I've had men tell me no before, and I don't listen to them. I just go ahead and get what I want. And she explained that she had grown up living out of dumpsters. Her mother was, you know, unemployed or whatever, and they lived and ate out of dumpsters and survived in parks and whatever. She had found a man that was a dumpster diver along with her, and he'd beat her and got her pregnant, so she had a baby. And then somehow she found her way out of all that and into shelter, found another man who's a good man. He had a job. She finally got a job because with him having a job, she could then, you know, have the kid go to school and she could get a job. And by the time they got to me, they were both on their feet and doing pretty well. But they didn't have the kind of money you would need to buy an apartment complex. And she said, don't tell me I can't do it. I can do it. I said, okay, what are we going to do to get there? What's the steps? Because that's the thing then. Now you have to start being very specific about it. She goes, well, how much do I need? I said, you're going to need at least $50,000 to buy an apartment complex. Now, back then, 50 would have bought you a small apartment complex, maybe 10 unit, whatever. Now it might cost you $100,000 to get that small apartment complex, maybe more. But we knew, you know, we looked at it. We looked at how much would it cost for a small apartment? What would the financing be? What would the down payment be? And so we just came up with, we need about $50,000. Says, okay, well, my husband and I will buy a house. And my husband is a carpenter by trade. He's a masseuse by job. He's a carpenter by his trade. And we'll remodel the house. Him and I will remodel it. And we'll sell it. We'll make $50,000. Well, they did that. They went through those steps. So, see, they had the big dream of buying the apartment complex, but they whittled it down and they got some help. They came to me and said, okay, here's what we got to do. Let's take this step, right? And the step was to remodel this house. Now, once they had the house remodeled, it had a lot more value than they even thought they would have. And then we found them a small apartment they could buy. And there was enough equity in the house that instead of selling the house and losing the rental property, they went to the bank and they did something called cross-collateralization. They borrowed from the house to create the down payment money for the apartment complex and then got the loan for the apartment complex because the bank had already loved them because they built this house. They borrowed the money. They did the rehab. They paid, you know, the bank back basically and got into a new loan. And the bank goes, okay, I believe in your vision. I believe in you. So we will give you the money to buy this small apartment and we will cross collateralize so we can give you the down payment out of the value in the house. And she bought a small apartment complex. She went on to buy about three more apartment complexes before they up and disappeared somewhere. I don't know, but their life took them somewhere. And it was just interesting to see somebody that could not be stopped, but was willing to take the steps necessary to get there. Now, I had another lady send me an email the other day, and this lady sent me like a $10 million deal. And I said, do you have any money? She says, no, I don't have any money. So what she was asking me was to give her the program for free and let her pay me back sometime in the future. And I said, but you don't have any money. She says, I know, but you are the kind of person, you'll figure out where to get the money and you'll get us the money. And I just want you to help me do this. And I'll forever believe in you. And, you know, I believe in God. God told me you saved me. And see, this is where there's a dream, but it's never been broken down into practical steps because this lady could buy an apartment complex someday, right? She just can't buy this one this day with no money. Now, if there's a way to do it out there, it's only because somebody gave her something for nothing, which I don't believe in giving people something for nothing. I believe, you know, you don't give a man a fish. You teach the man to fish so they can go earn what they deserve in life, and then they'll always be able to replace it. Different set of beliefs, I know. But here's a situation where this lady is stuck because she's not willing to go back and buy one rent house or go get a job and save up enough money to buy one rent house. And then with one rent house, and this is when I had my plan, and this is important, I dreamed that I want to be able to retire. I looked at franchises. I looked at all different kinds of things, man. And the dream was big, but then I honed it down, and I saw real estate was the one that made sense. And I honed it down. The easiest way to get started was a single-family rent house. And I honed it down and found a guy that could teach me how to do that and find me the deal that would be a great deal and then get me a lender that could lend me the money. And as I went deeper and deeper and deeper into the specifics of the beginning of the dream manifested. So I purchased homes. But the next thing you need to do is once you've dreamed, you have to tool up. You know, you have to go out there and find out what you need to have to do this stuff. You have to tool up. And you have to organize yourself. And you have to start practicing the steps that it would take to be successful. So in my case, I had to go get pre-qualified as, you know, with a lender to be able to start buying rent houses. And then after I got that's part of, you know, tooling up, getting ready. Then I had to go find agents. And I don't know how many agents I talked to. I said, I'd like to buy a property for next to nothing down, if not nothing down. And I wanted a positive cash flow, and I want to capture equity. And I bet there was 20, 30 agents I talked to said, there's no such thing like that. If that was out there, I'd buy it. Well, they're wrong. It was out there. I did it over 100 times on single-family houses. We do it thousands of times, even today. They were wrong. But I had to go through 20 or 30 agents to find the one that would say, yeah, that's fine. And he said, how many of them do you want? Boy, that scared the bejeebers out of me. What do you mean, how many do I want? I've been told by 30 people there don't exist, and you're telling me how many? He said, yeah, I can get you 10 of them right now if you want them. I found the mentor that could take me to the promised land. He had me organized. He had me get prepared. He had me get pre-qualified. And then he took me out and showed me the product. And then is the next step. You have to take action. And I was afraid. I said, well, that's really interesting. Wow, that's you're right. That's a pretty neat deal. Let's look around and see if there's, you know, one in a better subdivision. Whoa, 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 stop. Are you wasting my time? I said, what do you mean? What do you mean? He said, are you going to buy something or not? This is a perfect deal. It's 1,000% return, by the way. It was unbelievable. I put down $2,000 and made $25,000 on it. After I did, it was like 1,000 pounds came off my shoulder. It was like, wow, that was easy. It wasn't hard at all. I rented it, and then all of a sudden it was like it was so clear. It was like the clouds went away. It was a beautiful sunny day, and it was I could see as far as I wanted to go, one house, 10 houses. So I said, okay. He asked me, do you want to do any more? And I said, yes. And he said, how many? I said, three. I couldn't think any bigger than three. So I did three more. Then I had four. When I had four, I thought, well, maybe 10. When I had 10, I thought, well, absolutely should have 20, right? Then after I had 20, then I thought, you know, I had 40 and I ended up with 40. My brain couldn't go any further than that, right? And then when I had 40, then all of a sudden I went and I bought a 64-unit apartment complex. And then, you know, and by the way, when I went from singles, I went from single-family houses to duplexes, got two doors for the price of one, basically, with the one down payment, got two tenants, two doors. Then I went to fourplexes and I got four for the price of one down payment, which was even better, right? And then I went to small apartments. I bought five duplexes together in a row, which was 10 units. And then I bought 15 duplexes in a cul-de-sac, bought the whole cul-de-sac. That was 30 units, right? Then I bought a 40-unit apartment complex. And after I bought a 40-unit apartment complex, well, actually, before I bought the 40-unit apartment complex, I actually bought 45 townhouses that were all together in a townhouse subdivision that three different owners owned. I bought three different groups of houses from three different people, put them all together, made it one association, townhouse association, which it was already, but there was three different investors that had bought in there, and I bought out all three guys. And so I owned the whole thing, right? That was 45, and so my brain got to 45, and then I bought a 64-unit apartment complex. Then I could see 60 at a time. So I bought the 64 on one side of the street. That got me to believe I could do anything. So I bought the 68 unit across the street. And now I owned, 120 right next to each other. And actually it was 132. And then I bought the 88 unit down the street. So there you go. There was no stopping me. And then after I bought the 88 unit, I went around the corner and I bought a 132 unit property, which was made up of 140, and then across the street another 30 units or so. So it was like 104 and then 34, so it was like 135, 38, 40, something like that. So now I had like 500 units within two blocks of each other. It was just, I couldn't be stopped. I just kept going. Then I went down to Texas City, and I bought two apartment complexes down there, and I can't tell you, I couldn't stop myself. It was just that easy, because now I could conceive and perceive and believe that I could accomplish whatever I wanted. And then I read a book one time. I was sitting on the top of a cliff with waterfalls coming off of it with a friend of mine. And I had read this book, and I said, you know, it says here, unless you make $40,000 a month, you don't make anything. You have to make at least 40. And they had an argument for it. They had laid it all out that 40 grand a month was the minimum you could make and consider yourself successful. And so I said, well, you know, I make 40 grand a month. That's pretty cool. So I guess I'm successful. We're sitting there going, you know, you don't know how you get to that point, but for some reason, it was amazing. They whole book, I don't even remember the name of the book. It's not even worth talking about. But they had it there that 40 grand a month was the thing, right? So what I want to get to you right now is that once I had accomplished the first accomplishment, doing the same thing was easy. Because I was comfortable with buying single-family houses. What I had to do was up my game, so I went to duplexes, which is really just a two-doored single-family house. Same business, same way of buying them. There was really nothing to do, so it was really easy for me. Then I went to fourplexes, still single-family house. The way you buy it, the way it's appraised, still single-family. The way you rent it, still single-family. So I really didn't change, but I was doing things two times as fast, four times as fast. So I upped my game. Right? And I would suggest to you that everywhere along the line, you have to stop, enjoy where you're at, and then dream again. And then when you dream again, you have to rewrite your goals. You have to retool up again. You have to find a new mentor that knows that area, study it, and get out there and go after that goal. And that is basically the process I've done over and over and over again. I did that too. Create my real estate portfolio. I did that to create Lifestyles Unlimited, the business. I did that to create Lifestyles Realty, all the real estate companies that I own. I did that to find this house and buy this home. You know, I even did that with my wife, believe it or not. That's a crazy story. I had a dream of what I thought a wife should be. I'd been divorced twice, went very conservative one time, went very freaky the second time. And I said, you know, neither one of those two extremes is what I want for my life. I want this perfect woman. And so my daughter and I actually sat down and drew out a list. Literally sat down and drew up a list of what I needed in a woman to be happy. And we started researching it. And we looked at, you know, what types of personalities work better with what and whatever. And we came up with the perfect person. When I found her, we both knew it. That's her. There it is. So my friends, I hope you had a wonderful Memorial Day, but I hope next year is even better. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more of Del's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Del Wamsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Del Wamsley Radio Show are those of the host, Del Wamsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Del Wamsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Del Wamsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.